Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It is a happy Monday. We made it through the storm. Well done. Wind's picking up. I think it's not done. So we're expecting a little bit more wind and rain and thunder over the course of the night. But we appreciate you hanging out with us on a Monday. 402-464-5685 is the Sartor Hammer text line. You want to be a part of what we're doing. Want to jump on the streams, please do. Allo Channel 961, Facebook, YouTube, X, etc. And again, a reminder that you can find these podcasts or any of our podcasts. You can find them on Spotify. You can find them on Amazon Prime as well. So get the new, whatever way you consume this content, this is a good way to do it. And of course, we'll archive it and have it available for you later. It's Monday. That means one thing. One man, let's hit his music.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
That's so good. Coach Barry Johnson, Fairfax Football Academy. What's happening, brother?
DP, I'm all kinds of fired up today. Let's get after it.
Let's get it going. Hey, yeah. Man, listen, yeah. A couple of things are in the water, a couple all of oars right. in the water, and you and I were talking about that list you sent of the best five programs in college football and the things that they have in common, the five people that they stay consistent and constant with. If you would please give the folks that five so we can start.
It was a continuity. I think you better track the five because remember I had a slight pitch on that. Somebody had done a study of all the division FBS programs, and in this era with all the transition, you know, the idea is you try to establish continuity, and continuity relates to wins. And it just went through, I think the final figure was barely a quarter of the 132 FBS teams have five of the core positions coming back: the head coach, the OC, DC, the quarterback, and did you say middle linebacker? I forget what the other position was.
I jokingly said, well, because we base it on what we know rather than what somebody else tells us, right?
So right.
We say, okay, listen, if I'm going to turn over, I'm going to feel really confident, and it depends on the sport. Same thing applies. If I have in basketball, if I have a really good point guard in the center returning, I feel better about my chances in returning and having success the following year. In baseball, if I'm returning, if I have a star pitcher, a catcher, shortstop and center fielder, I feel pretty good about my ability to do what I do. And then as a football coach, if the head coach returns,
right,
and then my two coordinators return, my quarterback returns, and then they said strength coach, which
that was it.
They said strength coach, and I because I've never had a program that had a really good strength coach, contrary to whether they thought they were.
Well, I think to be fair to them, and by the way, for Nebraska, I think it was Football Scoop that did the article, so let's credit them. And for Nebraska fans, in the Big Ten, there were only four teams that met the criteria, and Nebraska was one of them. And I think the strength coach deal is because there's that bridge between spring ball and fall ball, and that the strength coach has the say over the kids. So I think that's where that comes from, right? That he's the guy that kind of has the
same. He's the off-season coach. Strength coaches is the guy that spends the most time. He kind of identifies who your workers are, who the not workers. Is this team bought in? Are they showing up? Are they working hard? Are they doing all those things? Mm-hmm. But I also know that in some cases, that's the wrong person. Literally the wrong. In a lot of cases, that dude is a little too much.
You're right.
Whatever. Right. And if you get a good one now, before all the outdoor strength coaches out there get all bundled up, I'm saying in the programs that I've been in, one, we didn't look like an off-season weight program. In none of the places that I've ever coached. We didn't win the offseason championship, and we certainly didn't give that power to a coach who is going through whatever they're going through. That if the strength coach is the identity of your team for 75% of your year, you better have the right dude.
Better have the right dude. Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
I said defensively.
Right.
That the coordinator has to have somebody on his defense in the middle of the field.
Right.
That will dictate the heavy lifting that needs to happen. Toughness of somebody in the middle of the field who's going to take on their big bruisers. That's going to take on their best athlete. Somebody that's going to look the quarterback, that other position of note and power. Look that quarterback. I need somebody to look Barry Thompson in the eye and say, I got you, QB. I got you. Like, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're doing. I know how you're going to try to move me around. Every great defense, we can list them up by dudes in the middle, whether it's Samurai Mike Singletary. We can talk about Ray Lewis in the middle, Nitschke for his full run. We can go up and down. Every great defense in those eras, there's a dude in the middle who led the way. And we, you know, Washington, we had Dave Butts.
Right.
Like, he was just like, listen, quarterback, ain't nothing running up here. good luck outside with the little dudes.
Right.
Big men out here doing work. So for is it safety, middle linebacker? What is it for you?
Yeah, I think it is, because the era that you're talking about, that's the era of the 4-3, right? So that. But when you go to the 3-4 and you have two inside backers, you could have a guy. You always want a guy like Ray Lewis. You know, you always want that guy. But I think when the era of 3-4 and change of coverages and the match and the quarters coverage that they do, I think it's the safety that you hope has the personality that you're talking about. But he's a safety because he's going to be responsible for setting a lot of stuff coverage-wise off of fronts, and he's got to know a lot. And I think that coach now would love to have that Singletary type of Ronnie Lott type of personality back there that's smart, that physical, that can get after it and get everybody in the right place.
How difficult is it? Let's start on the offensive side of the ball, Barry, because for an offensive coordinator, how important is it to have that constant leadership, that constant verbiage, like the same verbiage from year to year, having the same philosophy from year to year, the same calendar from year to year, at least you can work from that. How important is it for an offensive coordinator to have that sort of placemat, placekeeper, North Star for a really good program?
Yeah, knowing what you have and when you call things is really important. I mean, it changes everything, right? If you know what you have and you don't have to kind of guess, knowing the consistency of people, how they consistently perform, it just makes things a lot easier. Also, you get that time to develop and understand what they're really good at, right? So that if you go back in and you want to tweak things, you can kind of tweak them in the direction of their strengths. And that makes everything a lot easier. As far as language coordinators, I once ran into a guy I was calling plays, and he had these weird names. I thought they were weird. And I said, you know, well, you could call it this. And he goes, yeah, I know I could call it this. And so we went kind of not fighting, but just kind of making a suggestion. I thought making something easier. And he very politely turned to me and he said, I have to call the plays. And he says, so all this stuff that I call, it has to make sense to me. Right. He has to have a vision in his head. So from a coordinator standpoint, it is important that they have the same language, and because how they call plays, how they see the chessboard is really important. Then the other component of that, yes, you got a multi-year quarterback that you're pretty happy with. You got a multi-year receiver you're pretty happy with, center that you're pretty happy with, guard. You know, it just changes everything. Changes everything. You know what they're good at, what they're not good at. It makes a huge difference when you're calling plays.
Let me ask you from the offense, from the quarterback side, and from the offensive coordinator side, would you rather face a defense where you know the coordinator and you know what he like? You faced him last year, right? Or would you rather face a guy that has never faced you?
I'm going to ask you. You better know the coordinator before you play him.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you could go both ways on it, but you better know the coordinator before you play him. You better have an understanding of what his philosophy is, where he likes to get down, what he likes to do in certain situations, what his coverage is, and what his tendencies are. You better know that. Now, a guy that you played multiple years, yeah, you'll know what he does, but then the flip side is he knows what you like to do too. So you'll see this. I think I've talked about this. Sometimes you'll see this on TV. When the pro season kicks off, those teams that have new coordinators that, you know, and everybody's excited about the team, they'll go on a surprising four-game run, maybe 2-2 when everybody thought they were going to go 1-3, or they'll be 3-1. But those coordinators then will catch up with what they're doing. And then that team that you're really excited about that really wasn't all that much, they regress back to the mean because now, right? they regress back because the guys figured out really quickly. There aren't that many new things under the sun. It's just things that you can kind of, and you'll also see it in games. Sometimes there'll be a big game and you're really excited for a big game and you sit down and all of a sudden the team that you're not cheering for just runs through your team like butter. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you want to turn the TV off, but you hang with it a little bit. And then slowly, slowly, slowly you get to the half and it's a 3-point game. Well, what happened was that coordinator, whatever side about, he had some things that the other coordinator wasn't expecting. It took him a little while, but he figured it out. Okay, here's what they're doing. Here's our adjustment. Let's go play football, get back into it, play defense, and those things happen. So you do see it early in pro games. You will see it in a pro game. Sometimes a big game where the coordinator will tweak something, but they'll catch back up. So it's part of the chess match you're playing.
I think it's always fascinating that when you see the mid-majors or you see the FCS schools get a chance at a big school and then they get them on the heels and you go, wait a minute, like Liberty's renowned now.
Right.
For James Madison, App State, a couple of folks from back in the Virginia area that they catch the bigs.
Yeah.
Let's bring it
home. Noah Walters at North Alabama against Florida State.
Yeah, get them on the heels.
Had a heck of a first half, right?
Yep.
And they said, okay, well, then Florida State said they just started to do Florida State things, right?
Well, they started leaning on them. And that's the thing, again, if you're a big boy, you playing the dance-off battle isn't how this is supposed to go.
Right.
if you're dancing with the little dudes, you deserve to get stressed.
Yeah.
But we try to get into the things that work and the things that don't work. And a big part of, like you said, we were sending back and forth these concepts, right?
Yes.
And I've said for as long as I've known you, that mesh concepts really are difficult to defend.
They are.
If run properly. If run properly and the right decision is made.
Right.
And that there's always a right decision in a mesh concept. Yeah. There's always somebody
right
that they can't defend.
Yeah, and the air raid guys have kind of added to it. They used to just run it kind of flat with two receivers crossing, but what they've done now, they'll go out of trips and they'll add a third guy over top of the ball a little bit deeper. So the kind of weapon that the defense deployed is they would just exchange between the linebackers. So as a quarterback, if you really were keying, most of the time you kind of key the mic, you want to throw away from him. Right. But now they have an exchange. And so, okay, now you're relying on people sitting down on Jones and stuff like that. Well, as they sit, the hole is behind them. And so you'll see that a lot too, that goes on with that. But we were talking about plays. I think you're heading into an era of passing game DP that you would actually love. I talked to you. I think option routes are going to become more prevalent because of all the match and quarter stuff that people can deploy and kind of bracket all over the place and take things away from you. It's tough to get guys open, like wide open, unless you're in man. So these kind of option routes are going to be coming more and more in vogue. And I think it's an era of football that you would really, really love because it just makes sense. You know, if he's inside leverage, I'm going to go outside, that type of thing.
Well, it's always this, that – so I was kind of a blend, mm-hmm. running back, wide receiver, flanker. As Nebraska would call it, the wing back.
Flanker. You said flanker. You put your hand down in the dirt. Get out wide and get in that 3-point stance. Yeah, here's my guy from the Jet that was a heck of Johnny. Was it Maynard?
Maynard. Maynard was a dude.
He was a dude.
He could run. That was the thing. Right. But yeah, him and Blitnikoff, right? You know, yeah. They're their hand down. but I always felt like if there was a corner, first of all, I still thought I could outrun him, but uh-huh. I was more physical than him because I was a running back. Uh-huh. If it was a linebacker, he wasn't going to be able to run with me.
Right.
If it was a safety, I got one. Like, this is the thing. So let me get out here, and if you give me an option, we didn't have an option route in 1980.
If
they had that juke route back in 1980, I'd have had Hubert Davis's pass catching record. I'd have broke that 100. Like me and Barry would have just played pitch and catch.
Yeah.
For a quarterback, the juke route, is that a trust route? Is that a confidence route?
To catch some of the listeners up, there's a concept that's become real popular. The Patriots ran it for a while. There was a Super Bowl a few years back where the Patriots ran against the Rams. And in three successive plays, they ran the same play. Ball went three different spots, ended with Gronk really close to the goal line, and they wound up scoring. So it's a five-wide play, and it's called Hoss. Hoss is for hitch and then seam, so HS seam. So the two outside receivers, the one and two on either side, are running a hitch and kind of a slot fade. And then the Y is running what's called the Y juke. Now, when they spread out and say they come, that Mike is isolated, his idea is to kind of square him up and then juke him and take advantage of his leverage and get open. It's also good against one high, right, because you got that slot fade. You have your answers against hot. If they want to send six, you've got those two hitches on the outside. But, yeah, it just exposes – it puts one of your better route runners on the least best pass defender, which is typically –
It was Edelman Amendola in the slot against – either a third linebacker.
right.
Or a nickelback who just wasn't ready.
No, it's just not the matchup. And then you think about it, you say, well, what if they go man? Well, if you go man, if guys are familiar with it, now we're getting a little geeky with football talk, it actually starts to look like Y stick with a slot fade, and that's actually more room for the stick to operate. The traditional thing is with on trips, if you're running stick, you'll have some type of vertical release and out and an out, right? That's real traditional. But now you have that hitch and you have that slot fade for number two that's creating space for the stick to come in and operate. So it's just a really useful play. And from a quarterback perspective, it's what I call it. I heard this on a podcast, Caleb Coral. He says it's a reactionary throw. It's not like 1, 2, 3, and I got to hit it. It's whatever my footwork is, and I have to be ready to throw, and I'm going to react right when my guy gets open. So that kind of stuff makes a lot of coaches nervous, but there's ways of kind of trimming it down to making sure that the menu of options for that creative receiver is either 1, 2, or 3. And if you just do it over and over again, I can recognize when he's choosing number 1, number 2, or number 3, and that'll help the quarterback a lot too.
This is how you know this was my QB, because he said when my receiver gets open. He didn't say him. He said when DP get open.
Right.
And it was no question.
Right.
Yeah. No. So
you'll see that.
And we coached it the same way, which is really funny.
And there's other ones that have been available. Like, for instance, some of the pros have a route from number 1 where he's outside and he comes in at a 45 degree angle toward the hash and then will bend back out almost like a sideways V. Mm-hmm. But what both the receiver and the quarterback are looking at is the position of the defender. So if the position of the defender, if I'm the receiver, I'm running toward the hash and that defender is in front of me, both I know and the quarterback knows that I'm going to kind of cut that V in half. Now, if the guy defending me is on my hip as I'm heading in, then both I and the quarterback know that I'm going to make it more like a full sideways V and get out of 45. So that's an option route where, you know, you're both looking at the same thing and you're making a decision off it. Tennessee a couple years ago ran a switch. You would love this one too. You ready?
Yep.
This switch concept. So what they would do 2x2 or whatever it was, they had a front side concept. So let's say it's 5 steps, whatever it is. And if the quarterback didn't throw it, what he would do was turn to the backside. Now, what was going on the backside, the 1 and 2 receivers would switch. So the number 1, if he was on the line, he would go first. Number 2 would go behind him. But then they had rules because they're running with their eyes up. So if number 1 comes in and he looks up and he sees a safety on the hash, as soon as...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
As soon as he clears the linebacker, he's going to sit in that spot. Now, if he comes in and there's no safety there, he's going to keep going. The inside guy who winds up outside, same thing. He's running with his eyes up. And if he sees a zone corner sitting off and getting depth, he'll park it at 10 yards. If it's press man as he goes, there's nobody in front of him, he'll keep going. So the quarterback, when he turns, the first thing he's going to do is locate the safety. Right. So if I'm turning from, say, right to left, the first thing I'll do is locate the safety because that'll tell me whether my guy's going or sitting down. It's a really useful concept. Pretty simple to do, pretty simple to rep, and it provides a lot of answers against whatever coverage you have.
Yeah, it was so Barry and I would spend hours just ourselves with the rules of engagement. So what he's teaching his quarterbacks to see and what I'm teaching the receivers to see the same, mm-hmm. and to have the same thinking. And it was always Barry and I reached a common ground of, if you're running into and it's traffic, keep running. If there's no traffic, sit down.
yeah.
Sit down. He got you.
yeah.
Right. If you're being chased, keep running. If you're not being chased, sit down. You're going to get fed. And that was the rule. But getting getting quarterbacks and receivers on that same thinking is almost the critical part of the passing game. Right. More than route combinations or otherwise, it's being on the same page and having that conversation. Barry, we're going to put him in there, but we're going to go into a space that you and I were both in because we were part of Team USA, and what happened to Team USA the last week, we got to talk about.
Okay.
That is unacceptable, and we need explanation for some folks. I'm DP. He's Barry Thompson. This is One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, One-on-One. Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. If you want to check him out, again, find Coach Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy, all over the place. But before we leave today, I'll let him tell you how to find him on social media. Some of you coaches, dads, parents out there, reach out because he can help your young people get to whatever it is you want them to get to in the space. The news about football, and again, it's news for a lot of people that we have a Team USA at different levels. It starts early, and it's local, state, region, national, international, all different age groups. And Barry and his family and his group of young men have been a part of this thing, good and bad, for a long while. That leads all the way up to Trent Dilfer and the elite, you know, the elite quarterbacks, the elite 11, doing their thing. But Barry, to have the oldest group, Team USA, get their heads handed to them, not only in the finals but in the semifinals. They lost back to back.
Wow.
And they didn't lose. They never even played. Canada is the world champion. First of all, say right. that. Canada. Yeah. Canada. Look, Barry.
Well, let me
breaks off okay. Canada, man.
Oh no, well, let me say I think I haven't really paid attention to it because I've been out of it for a while. And what I can tell you just from where I sit. It doesn't seem to have the same presence in my area that it used to. It used to come up all the time. The kids asked me, they have a regional thing here in DC. And I knew it was coming around because the kids would ask me about it. I would see stuff. I knew who was running it. So I don't know if the program itself has kind of changed. They were big about, they had a heavy influence when the concussions were about being the lead on, you know, tackling safely and all that stuff. They had a huge presence from the NFL. I think that's where they got their budget from. And I can tell you, I just don't have the sense. I don't get as many questions. Hey, I made the national development team. There's something going on in Baltimore. So I don't know what happened to the program. Now, as far as Canada goes, when I was involved, we played in the international games at Dallas Stadium or Texas Stadium, Jerry's World. Mm-hmm. And we played a very, 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 very good Canadian team. I was not pleased with my performance as a coordinator, but there was no question that they were a solid, solid defensive team and they were talented. When I was at Woodbury Forest and that Woodbury Forest Episcopal thing, they were both extracting players from one of the Canadian academies up there to come to the States and play. One of them was Terrell Janna, who wound up playing at UVA. So they do have players up there. They do play football there. But losing in the semifinals to Japan, I would imagine that somebody at the top is going to say, hey, let's get this righted around. The clips that you showed me didn't look right. You know, they just didn't. You know, and there could be multiple reasons why that happened. But the fact remains is that it shouldn't happen. Does that make sense?
Yep. To lose to Japan in a thumping, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to go in the consolation game.
Mm-hmm.
And lose to Austria.
Yeah.
Now, listen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. And some of it, and I'll share this with Harrison and the listeners real quick, that it was about putting some of the best players in the country in these great competitive environments to find out, one, I mean, to wear the red, white, and blue and get to play in Cowboy Stadium and do all that whole thing and yeah, sometimes it was a mismatch, America against whoever they were playing.
Right.
But the other nations have caught up and bypassed because it's not sexy to play Team USA anymore. Like it's not worth the risk.
Yeah.
And you're also not recruiting the best coaches. You're also not recruiting the best players.
Yeah, and they had a tough calendar when I was there. Like they had this kind of faux, you know, we have a regional, you get invited to the national development team, and from the national development team, we're going to select some players. But at the same time, they were aware of how good Canada was and some of these other teams. And so even though they had kind of this faux kind of progression at the national development level, they knew they had to go out and get other players who hadn't been through the cycle to make up those teams. And then you're looking at this is taking place, what, in late June and July?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the top players, what are you going to do? Go play Team USA or, you know, go to your prospect camp and get your scholarship and your NIL deal. So they're in a tough spot when it comes to that. It was a tough spot when I was there, and I guess it hasn't gotten any easier. But I'll still say, and everybody knows, it shouldn't have happened.
Well, I mean, this, especially in the NIL days,
right?
That Team USA should have the resources to get players to come in. If you're under agreement, if you're sponsored, if you're under contract, why would you not want to do that?
No, right? It's going to take somebody with some foresight who say, hey, this is how we can do this. Yeah. Right now, the model that they're using, as evidenced by the result, is not working, and somebody's going to have to fix it. So hopefully they do.
Let's go into the living rooms around the country.
Right? Okay. All right.
You as a coach, you as a parent, you as a guy that's been a part of the recruiting game. Let's mm-hmm. go into the living room and let's have the conversation about priorities.
Mm.
Priorities.
Yeah.
Each group, coach,
yeah.
player, parent, all yeah. have a different focus and a different priority in that room. Is that
it is accurate. But as you're choosing, what's important as a leader is that you're clear on what the priorities are, right? I think you get into trouble when you're trying to please everybody, right?
Well,
Each group,
right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. as a parent, the focus has to be or should be a thing, not always is. As a player,
mm-hmm.
there should be a focus, best fit. But that depends on the player. For the coaches,
mm-hmm.
it is to make the sell in whatever way they can make the sell.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But I think the sell should be, hey, here's what we're going to come here. We want, let's say we're talking about FBS. Let's just not.
Yep.
Okay. Let's knock the amateurism, all that stuff out.
Yep.
We're coming here because we want the type of player that wants to be a pro player. That's the type of guy we want. Now, not everybody's going to make it to a pro. And if you do, here's your career life. So we're going to get you. You're going to go to class. There's no question. You come here, you go to class. Now, in this process, we're going to do the best to develop you into a quality young man, right, who dresses correctly, speaks correctly, handles himself, and is ready for a professional career, whether it's on the field or off the field. That's what we're going to do with your young man. You turn him over to me. Right. That's a pitch. And with money on the table, wise people will tell you the last reason that you should do anything is for money or not for money. Right. You just, yes, there's money there. Go get it. But that should never be the first thing in the conversation. And I would think, depending on, you know, who I'm sitting across from, but I would think I'd have enough integrity. Hey, sometimes you need a guy. But hopefully I would be one of those coaches that if money came up first, that I would say to them, that's not what we're about. If you want the best money deal, go somewhere else. Now, I don't know the coaches that really operate in this space. They're probably saying, that's the dumbest thing in the world. And I will qualify. If I'm sitting across from a future first-round draft, I may politely correct them about when we talk about money, but we're not gonna put money, you know, first. I was like, we'll get to that, son. And by the way, that's not a good tactic. But let's sit down and talk about you and your career and going forward and how we can help you get there. And after we get that done, yeah, we'll come back and talk about money. But I think there's a way to keep things in the proper order. But yeah, asking for money, asking about money. I mean, you just ask. John used to say, John Thompson used to say, the motivation's in the choosing.
That's it.
You know, the motivation's in the choosing. So if you're sitting down and somebody's saying that's what they want to talk about, money, then you understand how they're going to be a team guy. How they going to –
They really are letting you know. Right. Early, like in that front. Room, yes. In that room, in that living room, in the living rooms all over the country.
Yeah.
There are truths being told, and then there are lies being told.
Yeah. And to pick up on what we said too, I think it's important, right? We talked about vacuums. I think it's important in that process to communicate to mom and dad that this is how we're going to handle these things with your son. One of the things I saw when Miles was being recruited at Penn, and probably a lot of schools do this, they took all the parents, took all the players out of the room. They had them went off. All the parents were left there and then entered a couple of UPenn players. And they were simply there to answer any questions that the parents wanted to ask. The premise was that their experience had been that the parents would ask a question that would embarrass the kid, or they wouldn't ask a question because the kid was there. So they removed them. And DP, I'm telling you, the questions that came up for some of these parents, like there was one mom, I'll never forget it. She says, well, my son has a girlfriend. And if they break up and he's real sad, like, what are you going to do? But this is a real question, right? This is a real question.
Like, but we, look, Barry, we know that kid. Like, we.
Yes. I'm like, I'm glad the coach didn't hear that thing. But it's those things that come up, and you just have to be really clear about as from a coaching standpoint, I think you have to be really clear about who you're looking for and why they would be a part of your program. And you just, that's the thing. You know, I talked to my brother Edwin. You know, he says, why wouldn't you want to come here at Georgetown degree? You're in the city where everything happens and you get a chance to be a pro ball player. That's what we're looking for, right? Yep. That's what we're looking for. If you're not interested in that, then he'll move on.
But that's why he's got a winning program.
Yeah, he's done all right. He's done all right.
Well, toward the break, we'll come back. First of all, we need to find out where that what junior college that kid ended up going to. Because he certainly didn't. Look, there's not a Power 5 coach in the country that signed that kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, Mom. We'll have more conversations with Barry Thompson here on 101 on the Ticket.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment before we hand it over to DeMornay Pearsonell that we need to congratulate for getting his master's degree Saturday. Well done, young Pearsonell. Pretty impressive. We've been watching this young man since before he was in high school, and to watch him get that get his master's degree is just a big deal. But it's kind of why we root for him as hard as we do, and we make as many opportunities as we can. Good people, Barry Thompson. We were talking about being in the living room, kind sir.
Yes, sir.
You went through it as from the parent side, right?
Well, kind of, yeah. We didn't have any home visits, but yeah, to me it was a little bit different. My experience with Miles was I was a little sensitive about being a quarterback dad, right? I was coaching quarterback and here comes my son. So what we did is I just let Cindy and Miles kind of go off and do whatever they needed to do. And my role was going to be, hey, when it gets down to tight decisions, if there's a tight decision, I'll get involved just to be an extra set of ears, that type of thing. But I wanted whatever was coming his way to come his way just and not be rejected because here comes a quarterback dad who thinks he knows everything. I didn't want that vibe. And so his was actually unusual. The living room, it did happen in the living room, though. And I think I told this story. He was in that stage, parents of teenagers can kind of relate, where they kind of go up in the room and then you don't see them until they come down, right? So he just suddenly comes down one day in the living room and he goes, Penn just offered me a spot in the Wharton School. And that's all he said. And so there was a long pause. And I go, well, are you done? And he looks at me and goes, yeah. And I go, and he goes back upstairs. So mine wasn't really typical. But, you know, I do keep up with my guys that are being recruited and asking them, you know, a lot of questions about, you know, their recruitment. So it helps me keep me current on what's going on, the levels that they're involved in.
There are two parts to that that deserve consideration. The one, the Ivy League is going through this whole NIL process a little different than everybody else. Are they getting it right or are they getting it wrong?
Listen, you know my whole theory on this money in sports. The collective model is the best model that's out there for sports. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you try to do anything individually in sports, it just hasn't worked. And you look at the NFL. It was revenue sharing. Look at the Big Ten. It's revenue sharing. So the sooner that these people kind of understand that, you know, pick a big Amazon could maybe sponsor the Ivy League, and that they're all going to share the revenue that generates from that, they'll all get wealthy and all the money will be worked out just fine. Getting these little individual deals and hustling on your own, it's not going to lead to what people think it can be.
I don't disagree. The other side of it is that he went through the process, and parents can affect recruiting. Like, it can affect NIL in a negative way. And more times not. Like, once in a blue moon, the parent will make the situation better.
Parents can affect things even before you get to NIL.
Right? Getting the meeting.
No, just watching the interaction between these guys to go. What people have to understand about recruiting is that there's a professional on the other end. And it's nothing against any of these coaches, but this is a professional on the other end who makes his living, pays his bills, takes care of his family, has his wife and his home and his bill. He is a professional. And among all the many things that they're looking at to make a decision on you, one is, do I want to work with this guy for 4 years? Right? Do I want to see him every day? Is this the type of dude that I want to work with? And, you know, sometimes you can just watch and you can see an interaction. My brother tells me a famous story. He was 50-50 on a kid. And it was at the end of his baseball. It was at the end in his bag. You know, they have the big bags. And he saw the parents walking toward the player. And he said to himself, if those parents pick up that bag, I'm not recruiting that kid. And it sounds harsh, but what he was looking at was a young man who just give me a sign that you handle your own business. Now, you give me another sign that your parents do everything for you, I may have a lot to deal with you as a freshman. Could be true, cannot be true. My brother's a human being just like anybody else. But yes, parents, you may not even get to the NIL.
it's that other part that through all of it, it's that moment that you said that, do I want to work with the young man?
Yeah.
But that the professional coach often makes the decision on whether they want to deal with the parent at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. You know, you got a good family, whatever it is. It's just, you got to remember, in most hiring situations, if everybody's honest about it, in most hiring situations, they're looking for a reason not to hire you.
Yep.
That's how the interview, it's just the way people operate. They ask you all these questions because they want to hear an answer that lets them know that I shouldn't hire you, right? And so of all those things, you got to take in consideration, hey, this person that I'm talking to, right? You know, do I express an interest in them and what they do? They're, you know, I know they're coming after me, but do I kind of show that I care about what they're doing? It's just the most basic thing. And once you show that you care about somebody, they're going to open up. And then you'll get all the information that you need, right? Just by showing that you care. I can't tell you how many quarterbacks I've said they're going somewhere. I said, do you know the OC? No. I said, well, I know his name. I said, well, do you know his background? No. I said, it'd take you a couple of Google hits. Go find out what his background is, what his philosophy is. Matter of fact, click the head coach. You might find out that they just came from the last place together. I said, this is stuff you ought to know. I said, if he was somewhere else, he's a new coach. Go back and look at the film. Look at the offense. Maybe have some questions about a player or two. That's just to get them to understand that I'm sitting down with a guy and I'm expressing a little bit of interest in him. Hey, you want to know about me? I want to know about you too. And great information flows from that.
Way too much sense. But this is why we have the conversations. Mm-hmm. Let parents, kids, coaches know, listen, there's a way to make this work and there's a way to mess this up. As Barry said, BT, thank you, kind sir. Much appreciated.
Peace out.
That's it for One-on-One. Dope Punt Hour with DeMorne Pearsonell coming up next on The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.